107 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Friday. And the breaking news from last hour, we've been talking about the active shooter situation, NAS Pensacola. My buddy from News 5, Bill Riles, joins us to talk more about that right now and give us an update. Hey, Bill.
Hey, good morning.
Morning. So the situation, this started around quarter till 7 this morning.
Yeah, just before 7 o'clock this morning, we started getting reports of some activity at NAS Pensacola and eventually confirmed that it was an active shooter situation. So far, we know of at least, we've confirmed at least 5 injured. There are reports of other injuries as well, maybe as many as 10 or 11.
Okay, so, and we've been, I guess, some of that coming from the scanner traffic or with the ambulances going.
No, These are confirmed from the
at
Sheriff's
Baptist
Department and
okay.
the Police Department and NAS Pensacola. So.
Okay, they say 5, and the other reports...
Well, Baptist Hospital is reporting 5 patients from there. We've been trying to check with Sacred Heart Hospital
okay.
to see if there were any other injuries. So far, we've not been able to connect with them. Some other outlets are reporting more injuries, that's where we stand this morning. We do know the Sheriff's Department did confirm to us that the shooter is dead.
Okay, so that's the key. That's what a lot of people are asking here, Bill. The shooter is dead. Did they give any information about this shooter other than that they're dead?
Well, that's the only information they got, and I think they released that just to kind of, let people breathe for a second because it's still a very active situation there. Both of the gates are closed. The base is on lockdown, and our reporter, Brian Clarkley, trying to get closer, but is being stopped, of course, by police like everybody else is trying to get on the base. This was, at a time, as you can imagine, a military time when a lot of people were reporting to the base to go to work, to go to their jobs. There were people, there were kids who live on the base who get picked up by a school bus to go to school. Things like that. So all of that disrupted this morning by this situation.
Yeah, I don't know the nature of who was injured, but not just NAS Pensacola, but other bases. You have civilians working on those bases as well.
Oh, certainly, yeah. There's, there's Corey Station over there. There's NAS Pensacola. So there's, it's a huge community. And a lot of people don't live on the base. They live far away, and they drive to work every morning just like you or I do. And, they have to check. Go through those checkpoints there at the gates to get on the base, and they were just stopped this morning when those gates were locked down and this shooting situation happened.
I can imagine at some point today we'll get a presser, whether it be from the folks at NAS Pensacola or Escambia County Sheriff or somebody. I'm sure that's going to be happening sometime.
NAS was very quick to put out the word of what was going on with a standby and I think they tweeted it out at first just to let people know that this is what's going on, that the base was on lockdown. They told people on the base to shelter in place, and they told people who needed to come to the base to stay at home, non-essential personnel essentially to stay at home because they would not be allowed on the base while the situation is going on. And from what I'm hearing from Brian Clarkley, it's still an active situation with sheriff's deputies who are blocking at least one intersection there where he's at Navy Boulevard and Gulf Highway, diverting traffic away from the base.
Yeah, that's some of our listeners who work there are saying the same thing. They received alert, told not to come in, not to come to the base right now.
And Bill and Sean, if I could break in for a second, the official Twitter account of the U.S. Navy tweeting, and this is the only source I've seen this from, but it is the official account from the Navy, they say one additional fatality has been confirmed. Beyond the shooter. They said active shooter is deceased.
So,
and one additional.
Another death confirmed on the base. At least 5 other injuries, and we don't know the situation there.
All right, Bill, we appreciate the update.
Additional person other than the shooter is dead from what we're hearing in the newsroom. We just confirmed that.
Okay, so now we're getting this. Hopefully, pray to God that this is, that's it. We'll be leaning on y'all and checking back soon for another update.
Yeah, we are, it's like I said, it's still an active situation, and we're continuing to get new information that is coming in, so we will be putting that out. You can check WKRG.com, FM Talks, Facebook website as well, and we'll share a lot of that information.
Thank you, Bill. We appreciate the update in these tough times. We'll check back with you soon.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, Bill Riles from News 5 checking in. So that story, they said about 6:45. We started hearing about it around 7, and those of y'all that texted us that work with NAS Pensacola said that y'all were getting the message from work basically not to come in because of this going on. So we now know the shooter is dead and one of the innocents is dead.
Yeah, according to the U.S. Navy Twitter account, like the account with over a million followers, they're saying that one additional fatality has been confirmed. They said unknown number of injured people being transferred to local hospitals. And we heard five at Baptist Hospital. According to scanner traffic earlier, they said up to 10 patients were being taken to local hospitals. So keep in mind, you know, you've got Sacred Heart there also. And I'm seeing also now Pensacola News Journal says Sacred Heart Hospital has confirmed they're expecting 6 patients from the active shooter situation. So five at Baptist, 6 at Sacred Heart. And the U.S. Navy saying active shooter is dead along with one extra fatality.
All right. We will obviously keep our eyes on this story as we go throughout the morning, as new information probably will be coming out. And as soon as there's a presser or something like that, we'll give you that information as well. We'll be able to recap what we've learned this morning coming up at noon today for Midday Mobile. We're going to be live at your CBD store, West Mobile, but we'll be getting the news information. I imagine, just a sense, I have no confirmation from anybody on this. It's just a sense that around noon today, there will be some sort of pressure. That may come from NAS Pensacola, may come from Escambia County Sheriff's Office, but one of those sources will probably have, it just stands to reason, usually timeline, that there'll be a pressure there and we'll know more. Obviously, our prayers, our thoughts with those families today in our area right here that are suffering a tragedy because somebody decided to wreak evil on on other folks. And we'll give you more information as we get it. All right, to 814 FM Talk 106.5. We will lighten the mood some. We'll talk some football because it's tough
to do after that.
It is. We'll talk some football till we get new information on this. Get you ready for. It's very weird. This is going to be, watch people roll their eyes. Watching an SEC championship game, it happens. It's happened a couple times. It doesn't involve Alabama, so it'll be interesting to watch
and
that
then
tomorrow.
For the first time, watching Alabama not in the college football playoff. That'll be really weird.
It's a strange kind of relief. It's a freedom.
No pressure,
it's
right?
It's a freedom. Freedom I haven't felt in a long time, so not worried about it. What do you think? Citrus Bowl?
I'm seeing Citrus Bowl, maybe Outback Bowl. What's really interesting is Auburn jumped him in the latest poll. Mm-hmm. So Bama dropped 7 in the college football playoff poll to 12, and Auburn moved up, I think 6 spots from 17 to 11. So that got a lot of people's goat this weekend, but I know it made a lot of Auburn fans happy to see that jump. But really, it's odd to not see Alabama playing for an SEC championship and then in the college football playoff.
Well,
but
you don't win the game. You don't win the games. You don't go to the big game. Yep. That's just it.
And we will see the best team in the nation tomorrow. Now, I don't know if that best team is Ohio State, LSU, or Clemson, but we'll talk about their big conference championship games when we get back.
All right, we'll get to that in just a couple minutes. I've been telling you about the maids for a long time now and been switched. I say a long time. It's since October, but they've kind of become a part of our lives here at the Sullivan House. We have now gotten into the new house, and the movers finally got the last bunch of stuff while I was out of town into the house. Well, you know, I mean, movers can be great movers, but they leave a mess when that's happening. This is at the same time we're trying to get all the Christmas decorations out and parties to go to and parties to host at our house and the whole nine yards. The maids have given us the freedom and the gift of clean and the gift of time. So the gift of having a clean house at the same time having time to enjoy the holidays. They make a difference in your life like they are in our lives. It's very easy to get a free estimate. You go pick up the phone right now and call 344-6626. Or if you Google the maids in Mobile and Baldwin County, you'll get the number 344-6626. They'll come to your house. They'll do like they did for us. They'll give you that free estimate. And then you say, hey, that works for me. They'll get right to work. And what a great gift all year long. But this time of year, man, what could you do with a clean house and the time to enjoy that clean house? Get the free estimate from the maids. Their teams are fantastic. If they can clean the Sullivan House, y'all are going to be a breeze. Free estimate right now, 344-6626, 344-6626 for the maids. At 8:17, we're coming right back. Remember, too, we'll update this story on air, and after 9 o'clock, we'll be updating you on our Facebook page and Twitter feed. The latest from NAS Pensacola and that active shooter who is now dead. We have now 2 confirmed fatalities, bad guy and one of the good guys.
That's
right?
Correct.
Thank you, Kane. 824 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Norwig, Dr. Bill's got our weather. Kane keeps us in the loop on traffic, and we're keeping you up to date on this breaking news story from this morning. The active shooter at NAS Pensacola. I know Pensacola News Journal put a link up on Twitter, just sent out what we know at this point. Here's what Pensacola News Journal is reporting. Also, we had an update from our news partners at WKRG. It says Amber Southard, a spokesperson with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, confirmed 10 patients were being transported to local area hospitals. You've been talking about that. We like five going to Baptist,
five to Baptist,
six to Sacred Heart.
And also saw reports afterwards. Now, remember, conflicting reports, an ongoing situation.
That's right. Remember the way the news comes out during this.
Another report said the Baptist actually had received seven patients,
okay,
and that six were on their way to Sacred Heart. So,
okay, so that number could be going up. We have been told and confirmed two fatalities here.
That's right. The official account on Twitter of the U.S. Navy, they updated 24 minutes ago, active shooter is deceased, and one additional fatality had been confirmed. So that was from the U.S. Navy. And then also Pensacola News Journal updating just a few minutes ago, they said reports say the shooting took place near Radford Road on base. So
maybe somebody can give us insight who's real familiar with the base. Could tell us about that. I know that we could make it, but our Cub Scout group had a camp out there two weeks ago, something like that. We're getting, once again, confirmation the shooter is dead, like we said, but no other information, no identity,
no,
and motive. We're going to... Right now, people are trying to put this together in their head, saying, why, like we always do. You start thinking, with the number of people here, this has to be beyond some kind of domestic thing that happened on base. I mean, I'm jumping to assumptions that may be completely inaccurate, may be wrong there, but the number of people, because you could have a domestic situation on base, but we're talking about 10 people plus. So.
Yeah, and remember, on the heels of the shooting at Pearl Harbor
yesterday, yeah.
There are so many civilians that are on that base too. Just think, you've got the Naval Aviation Museum there also, and a lot of civilians that work there on base, and nothing confirmed about the shooter, or of course nothing confirmed about the motive. We probably won't hear that for a while, but the shooter is deceased, and at least one more fatality confirmed at this point.
Yeah, people asking on the text line about copycat. I don't know, we don't know what at this point what makes somebody like this do such evil to other human beings. We don't know. We'll probably get more information. I have a feeling we'll get a presser sometime probably around noon today. And it may not come from NAS Pensacola. It may come from Escambia County Sheriff's Office. You got different... You got Escambia County Sheriff working. At the same time, you have the MPs that are on NAS Pensacola. Mm-hmm. So I don't know who takes the command on that.
And the news, it gets worse. WKRG, our news partners reporting, NAS Pensacola confirms that two people now dead in addition to the shooter. So the total
dead
at three, including the shooter.
Oh, my gosh. This is horrible. We will give you updates here on the air. We're putting it through on Twitter. We'll put it on our Facebook as well as more information comes in. Once again, the base is on lockdown. No reason to go there. We know that early this morning, folks that are listeners here at FM Talk 106.5 that work there said they were told not to come in, because there's civilians at work on the base too.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of people involved. I mean, NAS Pensacola's footprint is bigger than just Pensacola, which is a very big in Pensacola, but it's big in, there are people in Baldwin County, Mobile County. You can go Okaloosa County, go on down the... There's a bunch of people that work around the base. So that is one of the issues that it's going to affect a lot of people around here, and we'll keep you up to date.
That's for sure.
All right. I'll tell you what, we'll go to the news break, and then we'll come back and talk some football, kind of separate.
Yeah, yeah. It's
for Football Friday. We'll talk about the championship games coming up tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Also, I want to get your take where you think people are going in their bowl game.
Okay. Yeah, I can try to give you that, but so much of that is up in the air,
I know, but you have a good... you have a better sense than I do, which isn't saying much, because I don't have much sense anymore, but you have a better take, so I'm interested in what you have to say on that. If people are trying to plan a trip or something, people kind of vacation around a bowl game.
Yeah, and I guess you do have some time between the end of the season. So we'll know where people are going in bowl games. I think we'll know all of them by Sunday. Now, you still have the Army-Navy game coming up on the 14th.
That's right. That's right.
They always wrap the regular season up. And this year, just like some of the years past here, Navy is ranked right now. They're in the top 25. So if they were to somehow lose to Army next weekend, that could shift where they go in a lot of these bowl games. But for the most part, we'll know where, say, the SEC teams are all heading, and quite a few SEC teams will be heading to bowl games. But what's important to us around here, Auburn and Alabama, and they're both kind of in contention for the same bowl games. I mean, look at them. They're ranked right next to each other in the college football playoff rankings at 11 and 12. So who will get the better bowl game when it comes out on Sunday? That'll be interesting to see also.
All right, we'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. Also, we mentioned it earlier. This will get started in earnest on Monday here at FM Talk 106.5. A couple of our things that we do, traditions around here during the Christmas season. Number one, my locals only Christmas list. I had some people chime in on Twitter over the last couple of weeks, but you can send those messages into the text line or the email. So these would be gifts and not services. They got to be things, because they're great services too, but these are things that are locally produced or they're very locally oriented, right? Things that couldn't be from Tennessee or couldn't be from Washington State or couldn't be from, New York State. These are things that are locally produced or have a local flavor, or both, even better. It can be clothing, it can be art, it can be furniture, it could be foods, it could be handicrafts, it could be a lot of things. But you think about somebody who you want to bring a spotlight to this Christmas, makes really cool stuff here locally, you'd like other people to know about. That's why I do this each year. Locals Only Christmas List, we assemble a list and then read it and talk a little bit about those folks as we get near Christmas Day. And also, we will talk about the Alabamian of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
This little contest we run at the end of the year. It's all coming up right here on Mobile Mornings. Got a news update on the way next.
Hey, thank you, Kane. 836 on FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings on a Friday. Let's head to McConnell Automotive and talk to Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Tell us, what's new on the lot at McConnell?
Oh, we got the employee pricing just about across the board on a lot of the GM products. We got Buicks, GMCs. Got a couple of the 3/4-ton GMC Sierras that just got in, and they are just absolutely gorgeous, and they're flying out of here. We got some good diesel trades in. Also have, don't forget, we got the certified cars that gives you an extra 12/12 on the warranty. Check us out online at McConnellAutomotive.com or give us a call at 251-476-4141. And don't forget, we'll buy your car if you want to get rid of it, get you some extra Christmas cash.
That's right. McConnell Automotive is the place to shop. We appreciate it, Louis.
Thank you.
That's Louis Arata. Check him out online, McConnellAutomotive.com, or go see the crew in person at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65.
Right. Just heard a number there. We're talking about, I knew there were a lot of civilians that worked at NAS Pensacola.
Mm-hmm.
We heard a number, 7,500 civilians.
Wow.
Work at NAS Pensacola. I would imagine that probably outnumbers, I think it was 1,100 or so airmen trained annually there. So I don't know how many support staff. It may be even, but there's a bunch of civilians working there as well. And most of those got the note not to come in this morning, but that shooting started around 6:45. And what we know now, sad news now, another fatality. So now the shooter dead, but two good guys dead.
Yeah, that's right. From our news partners at WKRG, NAS Pensacola confirms that two people are dead in addition to the shooter, and the Associated Press confirming that 11 people have been hospitalized. Now, they got the reports of this active shooter situation right around 7 a.m. this morning. The shooter was killed prior to 8 a.m., so right around 7:50, the shooter was reported deceased. And now they're confirming two additional fatalities in addition to the shooter. And keep it up with the injuries. Earlier it was reported that Sacred Heart Hospital said they were potentially receiving 6 patients. They now say that they're expecting 3 patients, not 6. And the number for Baptist Hospital initially was that they had 5 patients coming in, and that number rose to 7. But the report is that 11 patients are transported to area hospitals. So we will we'll keep you updated as we get more news. But earlier, you know, they were saying medical helicopters were en route, and also military ambulances were heading there to base, or I guess maybe we're already on base. I'm not sure about that. But also the report that I guess the shooting, according to the Pensacola News Journal, said that the reports say the shooting took place near Radford Road on base.
Okay, we're getting, and thanks for this update too, 16,000 military personnel employed there. So 16,000 military personnel, 7,500 civilians there at the base.
And I think, you know, this literally hits close to home, because most of us know of someone who has worked there
some
on
kind
base
of tied
or,
to the base,
or
yes.
currently works there on base. So Pensacola, the base there, just it's massive for our area here on Gulf Coast, and quite literally massive as a base. You just mentioned how many people work there on base. So obviously we don't have any confirmation on who the shooter was, or and we won't get for a while, you know, what the motive was.
We'll just pray for those families right now. That's what you do right now, because I mean, those are, you know, I mean, it's real no matter where it happens, but this is us, this is our backyard, and so there's people, families hurting so badly right now. It breaks my heart. All right, let's do a couple things here. We're going to talk about a couple other stories. As new information does come in on this, we will pass this along. I do want to remind you that we're taking Midday Mobile on the road today. And
again?
Yes.
We've been on the road a lot this week.
That's right. And do we have diesel in the mobile command unit?
I'll leave that to you to figure out.
Yeah, you did a fantastic job while I'm gone, but I come back and I got to make a decision on whether I go put diesel in the rig before I head out. But we will be heading out to your CBD store, West Mobile, noon to 2 today with Midday Mobile. Come by. I've got for early Christmas some FM Talk 106.5 goodies for y'all. So stop by. We'll hook you up with those. Plus, we've got a quite a valuable prize pack from your CBD store, West Mobile.
Yeah. So the owner there, Joe Brown, he let us know. In addition to the Christmas open house, you can come in and check out all the goodies, but they're giving away a CBD SunMed relief bundle, and it's valued at over $240. So one person that comes out to the remote will win that relief bundle there from your CBD store, West Mobile, and they also have additional giveaways that they've got going on today. So plenty of cool things to check out there at your CBD store.
All right, so that's starting at noon today. One of the guests, most likely, looks like we'll have AL5's Congressman Mo Brooks on with us. Mo Brooks is praising President Trump for his stance on tightening work requirements for people receiving food stamps. So he'll join us to talk about that in the noon hour. So I'll be listening for that, or come out and listen to it in person there. I mean, he won't be. He'll be on the telephone, but I'll be at your CBD store, West Mobile. All right, a little football chat here as we get ready for the championship weekend here. There's SEC, and then there are other
ACC.
I've heard of ACC before.
Have you heard of the Big Ten and the Big 12?
Never.
Which very confusing.
I have no idea. You know, they're not interesting. They're not SEC.
They kept the names of their conferences,
even though they have how many teams?
Yeah, I think, and I'm probably going to get this wrong, but I think the Big Ten has 12 teams and the Big 12 has 10 teams. Yeah. So just to make it a little bit more confusing, it is championship weekend.
Yes.
And not only for the football players, but also for the FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Challenge. We've made it now. This will be week 15 in the Pick'em Challenge. And AU Judge Jody currently in the lead by 1 point. So he's one game ahead of three people tied for second place. It's going to come down to the wire because it looks like we've got, at least 10 people with a shot to win this weekend if they pick the games correctly. And of course, we'll got that nice trophy for you if you're able to win the award.
Now, we didn't say it would be a trophy for football pick'em. We just said it's a trophy.
Just a trophy. Yeah.
Right?
And unfortunately, we don't have the participation ribbons, so we'll only give the winner something. Everyone else who comes in second, that's too bad, so sad. Got to try again next year. But AU Judge Jody in the lead, so everybody looking up at him. He's got the crosshairs on his back as we enter week 15. And lots of big games tomorrow for conference championship games. So we've got these. And then on Sunday, the College Football Playoff Committee will release their final poll, and with that we will know who the final four college football teams are that will compete in the college football playoff and eventually for the national title. And we've got teams ranked 1 through 8 all playing tomorrow, So all the teams that have a chance to make it in will be on the field either tonight or tomorrow. Tonight it gets started with the Pac-12 Championship in Santa Clara, California. You have number 5-ranked Utah playing number 13-ranked Oregon. And Utah now favored by 7 points. Now, when this when this line opened, it opened as 3.5 points. So Utah was bet up. Enough money came in on them. And enough bets were placed on the Utes that it moved from 3.5 to 7 points, which is a massive change. Yeah, that's really huge. Oregon, of course, they have 2 losses this season, the first coming in the very first game of the year against Auburn. So their national championship hopes are pretty much on ice because with 2 losses, there's going to be, no matter how you slice it, there's going to be teams with only 1 loss ahead of them that have a conference championship in their name. So Oregon's out, but they have the ability to play the role of spoiler. If Utah wins, you know you're going to have a loser in the SEC championship game.
Mm-hmm.
And if that loser is Georgia and Utah wins, or if Oklahoma wins their game, Georgia is very likely, unless it's like a game that goes into overtime in Atlanta and Georgia puts up a good fight, there's a small chance that Georgia sneaks in as a second SEC team.
Huh.
I think if LSU loses to Georgia, that they're going to keep LSU there in the top four just because they've played so dominantly this year. That will have been their only loss. But if Georgia loses and if Utah is able to beat Oregon, then the decision for the committee would be, do you put Utah in the Final Four, or coming up tomorrow at 11 a.m., the Big 12 championship between number 6th-ranked Oklahoma and number 7-ranked Baylor. Whoever wins that game will be a 1-loss conference champion, just like if Utah wins their Pac-12 game. So Oklahoma, 9-point favorites over Baylor. And this will be the second time in the last, I think, 3 or 4 weeks that these two teams have met. Baylor in that game was going in undefeated.
Okay.
And Oklahoma gave Baylor their first loss of the year. Now, Oklahoma, they lost a bad game to Kansas State earlier in this year. That was not a good loss on their record. But with Jalen Hurts playing as well as he has, they're still right there in contention, even with the awful defense that the Sooners have. So Oklahoma tomorrow morning favored by 9 over Baylor. I think, you know, if you have Utah win over Oregon, whoever wins that Big 12 championship, it's going to be between those two for who moves into that final slot in the college football playoff. And you might be wondering why I'm talking about this as if there's only one spot to play for. That's because these top three teams in the nation
You don't see them get – I mean, you don't think – like you just said, you don't see LSU changing, even if they lose.
Of the three games, I could see LSU might have the closest game against Georgia, but I still think if LSU loses, they're still in. That would cement the Final Four, I believe, as Georgia, LSU, Ohio State, and Clemson. But you look at Ohio State and Clemson, they are massive favorites in their conference championship games tomorrow. I mean, you've got Clemson favored by – and this is a conference championship, mind you. They're favored by 28.5 points
over Virginia. About the conference.
Yeah, the ACC very, very weak this year. And Clemson now really underrated. We were talking down on them at the beginning of the year. They had a very close 1-point win over North Carolina, which didn't look good. But since everyone, you know, buried them at the beginning of the year, they've been playing lights out. And part of that has to do, I'm sure, with the weakness of the conference. But we're still talking about the Clemson Tigers here.
Yeah, they kind of beat Alabama. So,
So I fully expect Ohio State, Clemson, and LSU to be in pretty much no matter what, unless the unthinkable happens and Ohio State or Clemson lose. That leaves that fourth spot there. Georgia would need to put up a heck of an effort against LSU to get in, and then you're looking at either the Pac-12 champion, if it is Utah. If Oregon wins that game, you can go ahead and say no Pac-12 team is getting in, and that would leave it open for the Big 12 because either Baylor or Oklahoma will be the conference champion with only 1 loss on their record.
I know they're supposed to make these decisions based on, you know, statistics and analytics and stuff, but I wonder if there's a temptation politically to put Utah in there to get you know,
Some fresh blood,
because you hear the complaints, you know, we're tired of the same, you know, they're looking at TV ratings, maybe it brings in another market or something like that. I mean, I don't know if they have a place on their box to check that off, but I wonder if that's in their minds.
I don't know, because if you're looking for viewers, you'd think that they'd want to put a Big 12 team in there.
Yes.
Because a lot more rabid college football fans.
But there are a lot more Oklahoma fans.
Yeah,
probably
for sure.
Utes.
And, you know, quite a few Baylor fans. And that would be actually kind of a heck of a story because Baylor was placed on probation not that long ago. And they had some issues going on there. They've, with their head coach Matt Rhule, have worked themselves back into the college football playoff situation discussion. But Utah, not a lot of people around here know much about Utah because, again, they're over there on the West Coast. Most of their games didn't start until 8:30 at night. It's kind of like, pretty much any team over on the West Coast. shows, they start so late that not many of us over here watch them consistently, but they've got a really good offense and a really good defense. But right now, when it comes down to the best teams in the nation, we're still talking about those top three, Ohio State, LSU, and Clemson. Whoever comes in as that fourth playoff team, they'd really be working from the underdog role if they want to work their way to a national championship.
All right, we'll be watching tonight and tomorrow for those games. And any feeling here on, let's narrow it down to Alabama and Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Bowl games. I mean, somebody was saying yesterday, Citrus Bowl.
Yeah, you know, the Citrus Bowl and the Outback Bowl. So the way these bowl games work is you've got, of course, the college football playoff. Then mm-hmm. you've got the New Year's Six. So three big-time bowl games that that everyone wants to be in. And some of those are at large, so they'll just take some of the teams that are ranked there at the top mm-hmm. and make good matchups for
Sugar
them to
bowl
play
kind
in the,
of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, to play in the New Year's Six. But then each bowl kind of allots their slots for different conferences. So Citrus and Outback Bowl, along with Music City Bowl, there's several others that they are going to have an SEC team in no matter what. And you can kind of rank those bowls from top to bottom. I can't do it off the top of my head, but Citrus and Outback are right there.
They're kind of even, or they?
They're kind of even, and actually they're kicking off at the exact same time. So that might cause some issues if Alabama and Auburn go to those two bowl games.
Right.
They'll be New Year's Day, a noon kickoff. But I'm also seeing, and I can't remember the name of the bowl game, it's a bigger bowl game, but it's December 28th. So it's looking like, odds are, Alabama and Auburn, they'll either play in the Citrus or Outback Bowl, or, and I can't believe it escapes me, but that bowl on December 28th, that's likely where we will see Alabama or Auburn play. And what would be interesting, if Utah does not make it into the Final Four, if they lose to Oregon, we might get a rematch, Alabama and Utah.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
remember, was it back in 2008 that Utah upset Alabama in a bowl game?
I forgot about that.
So lots of interesting stuff to check out in college football, and conference championships should be some good ones. And just as a side story, UAB and Florida Atlantic playing in a conference championship game tomorrow at 12:30. Now, Florida Atlantic favored by 7 points, but what a story for UAB.
Blazers, after being the Lazarus team, coming back to life.
Bill Clark has done just an amazing job, and I wonder if this might not be his last game coaching as UAB head coach, because the job he's done there, you'd think that some bigger programs would come calling mm-hmm. sooner or later.
Yeah, but he took a team that was literally dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't exist. And brought it back.
And now they're playing for a conference championship.
That is well said. And also, you've got high school football going on as well. So
yeah, and good luck to UMS Wright and Spanish Fort today. They are playing for state titles, so I'm hoping they bring blue maps back. Last night, yesterday morning, I should say, Mobile Christian suffered a tough loss to Piedmont, 26-24, and the Warriors were looking for their first state title, but end up losing on a touchdown pass with 35 seconds left to play. So we've got some good athletes and some good teams in our area.
Good deal. We'll be talking about that more tomorrow. Prep Sports Report, of course. Get that right after FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. As always, I mean, we're live and local on the weekdays. We're live and local on the weekends as well. Coming back, we'll update you on the latest from NAS Pensacola, where we've had that mass shooting that happened this morning. Sad news here, fatalities and injuries. We'll give you the details when we return. It seems like this year has gone so quickly. Already talking about Moon Pie Drop and New Year's. It's like, wow. All right. 856 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Dalton with an update here on the mass shooting that has taken place this morning at NAS Pensacola.
Yeah, the latest update from Pensacola News Journal. 6 total victims have been confirmed following an active shooter incident at Naval Air Station Pensacola on Friday morning. Now, we've also seen from multiple sources 11 taken to area hospitals, but Pensacola News Journal saying 6 total victims have been confirmed. 2 victims as well as the shooter have been confirmed dead. 2 additional victims have suffered critical injuries, and an additional victim has suffered non-critical injuries. And they add that the Navy base will be closed all day Friday,
sure.
Of course.
You've got 16,000 members of the military there. You have 7,500 civilians that work there. This is a place that has a big connection to our community. And, I mean, these stories are heartbreaking when they happen wherever. But this is our community, and so many are hurting this morning with the news. And there's people, like you said, still in the hospital. We don't know the outcome for those people.
Right. I mean, it's impossible to tell right now because keep in mind, it was just over an hour ago that the shooter was confirmed deceased. And the active shooter was actually reported right around 7 a.m. our time. So we're still within 2 hours of the active shooter being reported. And we'll see more information come in through the day. But with that news from Pensacola News Journal, with the two victims in addition to the shooter confirmed dead, two additional victims with critical injuries, we really, really, really hope that that number doesn't rise.
No, that we absolutely. And we'll keep our eyes on the story. Come back on with more updates at noon today for Midday Mobile, but also check us out on Facebook and Twitter. We'll have updates there as well. All right, Mike Gallagher Show on the way next.